But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The word patience isn't actually listed there, but you can look at the word long-suffering and temperance, and you have a little bit of an idea of what patience is. On your note sheet, I put down patience defined. I didn't really know exactly what direction the Lord wanted me to take when I was given the topic patience, because like I said, I'm not always as strong as I need to be in that area. But in looking it up, here's the world's definition of patience: bearing or enduring pain, difficulty, provocation, or annoyance with calmness, content to wait if necessary, not losing one's temper while waiting, not bothered with having to wait, and not unwilling to wait. Or it's the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Or it can be the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And I was convicted just after I read those definitions. I thought, oh, ouch. I don't have very many of those qualities sometimes. Okay, pretty convicting. Now, the Bible definition is very similar. Sometimes as a Christian, we can think it's just a passive acceptance. God's in control, so I can't do anything about my circumstance. I just have to sit here and endure. It's not a passive, submissive attitude simply because you can't do anything about a situation. Instead, there's four different Greek words used in the Bible for the word patience, and all of them have a military meaning behind them. If you think of a military situation, lots of times armies have to wait, but it doesn't mean that they're being lazy and they're not doing anything while they wait. Instead, we're to have an active patience. We're to resist, be constant, be unbreakable, and be unmovable. Now, none of us are perfect, and we're going to look at some Bible characters today that weren't even perfect. They experienced several moments of impatience, but each one of them, as God brought them to my mind, in certain areas that they had to wait, he showed me a characteristic that he said, hey, this is a fruit of patience that you need to be developing in your life. And I don't know about you, but when you think of being impatient, usually it's towards our circumstances, events, or people, or things in our life that we get agitated and annoyed with. And like I said, some of those things I listed at the beginning about me, I've even used as excuses. You know, I'm the oldest, therefore I'm born to be impatient, you know, because I like things done a certain way, or it's my temperament to be patient, or I have small children, so I have the right to be frustrated and annoyed sometimes, and I don't. Those are the traits and the fruits of walking in the flesh. I'd like to start with this little quote because it was pretty powerful. It's not on your note sheets, but I want you to listen to it. What is at the root of my impatience? Sometimes it's easier to understand what patience isn't by looking at what impatience is. Impatience, on the other hand, is a symptom of selfishness. It's a trait of the self-absorbed. It arises from the all-too-prevalent condition called center of the universe syndrome, which leads people to believe that the world revolves around them and that all others are just supporting cast in the grand theater of mortality in which they have the starring role. Ouch. If I'm impatient, it's because I'm being selfish. So let's look at some Bible characteristics of some good, godly Christian people in the Bible who, instead of getting annoyed, restless, or angry, or upset, which are the natural responses from the flesh, instead, like Romans 8, they walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The first one we're going to look at is Abraham. His story can be found in Genesis 12 through 25. And just to give you a little bit of the overview, sometimes I'll look at my circumstances and think they warrant impatience, but here are his circumstances. He was called out of a wicked city by God in search of a place that God was going to tell him when he reached there. And of course, he wasn't traveling by himself. He was hauling along quite the caravan. He was promised a child that would become a great nation, but then he had to wait over 25 years before he got that child. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Look at the thought there. Restlessness and impatience change nothing except our peace and joy. Peace doesn't dwell on outward things, and Abraham didn't have much outwardly, but in the heart, prepared to wait trustfully and quietly on him who has all things safely in his hands. What was Abraham's reward for having those qualities? Well, he was the father of a great nation, and he was called the friend of God. That's quite a statement to say about somebody. The characteristic I think we can learn from Abraham is faithfulness. He didn't always understand what God was doing in his life, and even didn't always know exactly where he was headed in his life, but he trusted and was quietly patient as he waited for God to show him what was next. If you want to write down off to the side, I was studying a little bit more about this. Patience and faith go together. They're sometimes called the power twins. It's faith that knows God's word. In fact, the Bible says that faith cometh from hearing God's word. That's the promises and things that I already know. That's faith. But patience works along with that, because it helps keep my faith strong. When my faith starts to waver because maybe I'm getting tired of waiting, patience says, no, stay strong. God's in charge. He'll take care of it. Just wait. So they go together. Joseph knew that. His story can be found in Genesis 37 through 50. He was born into a family full of strife, bitterness, jealousy. It wasn't, you know, the most wonderful family. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And sometimes I think I have it rough and get agitated about my circumstances. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was sent to prison and he was forgotten while he was there. But the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39, four different times, the Lord was with Joseph. God knew exactly where he was. He blessed him by making him second in command of all of Egypt, and he used him to save the nation of Israel during a time of famine. Look at the verses I wrote there, or typed up. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be eating nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Look at the thought. A waiting person is a patient person. The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us. Sometimes I'm quick to want out. What am I missing if I'm trying to get out too early? Joseph had lots of chances to wait, and each time God had something wonderful in store for him for just staying put. Romans 5:3 says that our tribulation worketh patience. Tribulations are those things that test us, or they give us a little bit of pressure, those things that we want out from under. It's those difficulties that make us grow. Look at how Joseph grew, and he was able to tell his brothers, hey, I came to terms with this. Here's what we can learn from Joseph. Acceptance. Faithfulness from Abraham. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay faithful, even if I don't understand everything. And Joseph said, I'm going to accept. I'm going to accept that I'm exactly where you want me to be, and I'm going to look for what you have in store for me. Moses is the next one God brought to my mind. His story can be found in Exodus 2 through Deuteronomy chapter 34. He was briefly raised by his mother until he was placed in Pharaoh's household. Can't imagine what that must have been like for her. He escaped to the desert, where he served his father-in-law for 40 years. That's a long time to have to serve your in-laws. He was sent to Pharaoh with signs and wonders, and you know the story. Pharaoh didn't listen to him right away. And then he spent over 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. I'm glad those weren't my children. What were they doing all the time? Moaning and groaning and complaining and just testing that poor man all the time. And sometimes I get so disgruntled, maybe at my children are so impatient. What was his reward? He became the leader of a great nation, and he was buried and guarded by God. That's quite something. Exodus 32, 31 through 32 says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and saith," he had been gone up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and he was gone for quite some time, and the people got impatient, tried to fix things their own way, and gave their worship and their heart towards something they shouldn't have given it to. And when Moses came back, he was grieved that the people had done that. And look what he says to God. "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," and I love that dash. I can only imagine how much emotion is in that dash. His sorrow, his grief, his guilt, his feeling of unworthiness to lead that people, sorrow that they had missed out on God's blessing, that look what he asked for. "If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." God had recorded all the names of those children of Israel, everybody that was going to get a piece of that promised land. And Moses said, "Could you just remove me off that list?" The Lord was ready to just discipline those children for what they had done. And Moses said, "No, put me right in there with them." He teaches me humbleness. It takes humbleness to be patient. We talked about how impatience is a result of selfishness, wanting our own way on our own timetable. I ran across this song many, many years ago, right after I graduated from college. Let me just read the lyrics to you. "Instant breakfast, instant light, anything easy, because that's what we like. Fast food places, banks with no lines, anything easy, that will do fine. Microwave ovens, mom's dream come true. Put it on credit, take it with you. Drive through car wash, only $2.98. Very convenient, the American way. Digital cameras, remote garage doors, instant coffee, Kmart stores, Avon ladies that will sell right at your door, home computers, who could want more? Instant Christian, changed overnight, anything easy, because that's what we like. Help me grow, Lord, show me how. Give me the patience, I want it now." Moses had learned humbleness. When we come to discern more perfectly and consider more nearly the immense power and goodness, the infinite glory and duration of God, and to make a comparison between those perfections of His and our own frailty and weakness and the shortness and uncertainty of our beings, we should humble ourselves even unto the dust before Him. Those things that I think are so important or such a big deal in my life, those trials, those events, those things that I'm wanting to hurry up and be done with, in the whole grand scheme of life, they're nothing, not in God's plan. He is so much above me, and yet sometimes I think in my selfishness I deserve so much better than what I'm getting. Ruth. Ruth can be found in the book of Ruth, chapters 1 through 4, obviously. Overview of her life: she was widowed at a very young age, and then she chose to move to Israel with her widowed mother-in-law. And she submitted herself to the Jewish culture. She was not Jewish. She chose to be, and it was quite different from what she had grown up with. Her reward: she became the grandmother to King David for making that choice. And she's a Moabitish woman included in the lineage of Jesus. She's not actually Jewish, but yet she's in the lineage. Ruth 1, 16 through 17, very familiar verses. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And then look at Ruth 2:12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. And I love this last part, whose wings thou art come to trust. She said, I'm leaving everything familiar and dear to me. I'm going into uncertain areas in my life, but I'm going to rest under your wings. This was mentioned at our singles conference. Unwillingness to accept or tolerate circumstances in our lives is a direct insult to a sovereign God. When I don't like where he's put me, I'm saying, God, you don't deserve to be God. Let me be God instead. Ruth teaches me reliance. When I'm trying to fix things, I'm not being reliant like I'm supposed to be. David. He can be found in 1 Samuel 16 all the way through 1 Kings chapter 2. A little bit of the overview of his life. He was ridiculed by his brothers for his faith. He was chased and threatened unmercifully by King Saul. That's worth impatience, don't you think? The poor man's running for his life all the time. If anybody should deserve to be impatient, it should be David. He experienced several family-related tragedies. His home life, because of all of his wives, etc., it was a mess. But his reward, the throne of David was established forever. Our Savior was born from that lineage. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Perfect? No. Impatient sometimes? Definitely. But God said, he's after my heart. Look at the verses David wrote, except for the last one, of course. Psalms 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. 2 Samuel 22, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Psalm 18, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Lamentation says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. What fruit did David have as a result of being patient? Security. Patience is the art of hoping. Even when circumstances look dark in David's life, he had the security of knowing God will fix it. God will take care of it. God knows best. God will bring me through this exactly when I need to come through it. The art of hoping. Esther. Overview of Esther's life can be found in Esther, the book, 1 through 10. She became part of a mandatory beauty pageant. It wasn't up for discussion in her country. If you were single, you participated. And it went against everything her religion taught, if you think about it. Once those girls were chosen to be a part of the king's harem, if you will, they never went back home again, and they never got married. They stayed as a part of his group, and she had no choice about it. She became chosen, though, as the queen of Persia. And then her life was endangered by a plot to kill the Jews. My life's never been endangered. Maybe I get impatient about that driver in front of me who's not going as fast because I've got these errands to run, and I'm agitated and furious. I'm not having to think about how do I keep from dying at the end of so many months. Her reward, she kept the Jewish nation from being destroyed. And she was used to influence a pagan king and an entire country for Christ. Esther 4, 13 through 16. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house. At first she was a little bit focused on herself. And he goes, wait, time out. You're being a little selfish there. Don't think you're going to escape just because you're the queen. More than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Beautiful portion of scripture right there. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. The deepest spiritual lessons are not learned by his letting us have our own way. They aren't. Think about different times in your life where you've learned the most or grown the most. Is it because you had to sit still and endure something? Probably. I know with children, if I just quickly do it for them, what have they learned?
Nothing.
It's only through his making us wait, bearing with us in love and patience, we're not there by ourselves, until we're able to honestly pray what he taught his disciples to pray. Thy will be done. She teaches me contentment. She could have come up with all kinds of scenarios, but she said, you go pray, I'll go pray, we'll be content until God lets us know what he wants us to do. And then, of course, Job, because we all know that one, right? The patience of Job.
He was patient.
A lot more patient than I would have been. Have you ever just sat through and read the book of Job, thinking what that man went through and what I get so upset about? His story can be found in Job. He was attacked by Satan. He lost it all, family, wealth, health, and he had three of the most worthless friends ever who were nothing but discouraging. His reward, he helped his three friends develop their walk with the Lord. By the end of the book, they kind of knew, oh, we understand the Lord a little bit better. Number two on there, he regains all double-fold, his family, his wealth, and his health, just by being patient. Job 1:22, what a verse. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Didn't get angry. Didn't say, why me? I don't deserve that. Job 42:5, at the end of his life, I have heard of thee. Kind of what Mrs. Wilkerson was saying. All her life, she knew. August 15th, it became different. Here's what Job said. I've heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. See, when I sit and go through something, whether it's something real quick that I'm wanting to take care of or whether it's a circumstance or trial I'm going through, if I sit through that, I'm going to understand the Lord a whole lot better. Why is patience so important? It makes you pay attention. Job taught me understanding. Instead of fretting, get me out of this. Lord, what should I be learning? What can I understand about you and myself while I'm going through this? Ask him to help you pay attention so it's not wasted. You've heard this statement taught. You waste the trial, what happens? It could last longer. You might go through it again. Okay? So ask to pay attention. Ask to help you understand. And then Mary. Mary was very patient. Her story can be found in Matthew through John. She was misunderstood by her fiancé, wasn't she? She had to go to him and tell him, I'm carrying a child. And he was devastated. What did he want to do to her?
Stone her.
She was ridiculed by those in Jewish society. It was not accepted. And then she had to watch as Jesus was rejected. I can't imagine how her heart must have broken. Yes, it was God, but it was her son. Her reward, she's a beautiful picture of submission to God's will. And she became the earthly mother of our Christ. Luke 1:38, and Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Look at this thought. Patience is a bitter plant. It is sometimes. Having to endure and wait and not understand why maybe answers are coming to other people but not to you. It can be bitter, but it has sweet fruit if you just hold on. Mary can teach us trust. What if she had looked at all of those negatives and said, no thanks? What sweet fruit might she have missed out on? And then Paul. And this is not by any means the only list of people that were patient in the Bible. But these are just a few that the Lord brought to my mind. His story can be found in Acts 8, all the way through 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned. None of those have I ever faced. He was threatened, often removed bodily from cities, left for dead. What is it you're impatient about? How does it compare to Paul's list? His reward, he was an amazing church planner and missionary. He was the greatest teacher and apostle to the New Testament churches, and he wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. He had a lot to say about patience. Look at 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:3-4. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, those things that exert a little bit of pressure. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Paul used the word patience 16 times in the New Testament writings that he wrote. Patience isn't passive resignation, nor is it failing to act because of your fears. Patience means active waiting and enduring. It means staying with something and doing all that you can, working, hoping, and exercising faith, bearing hardship with fortitude, even when the desires of our hearts are delayed. Sometimes that's hard. My husband and I teach a singles class. Sometimes that's hard for them. Their desires are delayed. Patience isn't simply enduring, it's enduring well. That's what Paul teaches me. Endurance. Being patient to wait on those answers. Are they going to come? Yes, as long as I endure. The person from number two. Let me go back to the beginning. Acceptance with Joseph. What are the fruits of patience? Faith, acceptance, humbleness, reliance, security, contentment, understanding, trust, endurance. All of those the Lord brought to me as I was studying that one word. How are you doing in some of those areas? I know how I was doing. I was like, ooh, ouch. I need to work on some of those. Let's give it a practical illustration from God's word. Remember those two houses that were being built? One was being built on the sand, and one was being built on the rock. I told you that faith comes by the word of God. Each of those men had faith. They built a house. They knew the promises, and so they put that into action. Here's my house. But each of those had two different reactions when pressures came to their house. What happened to the one on the sand? Splat. What happened to the one on the rock?
It stood solid.
Patience is the one on the rock. I could have Googled steps on getting patience. And in fact, I did. And it gave you things that were all self-help. What pushes your hot buttons? Take time out to meditate. Silly little things. God says, no. Go to my word. Look at what my Bible characters were doing when they were faced with some outside pressures. They stayed on the rock, and because they did, they had great rewards and they bore great fruit. I want to be that house on the rock that stands firm when those outside pressures come. I don't want to be like that house on the sand that just comes apart with those fleshly responses, annoyance, agitation, lose my temper, beat my horn, fuss, and get angry at people or circumstances. I want to endure. I want to have the patience that God wants me to have so that I don't miss the rewards and I don't miss having some of those fruits in my life. Let me close with that last quote that I started with. Impatience is a symptom of selfishness. It's a trait of the self-absorbed. It arises from the all-too-prevalent condition called center of the universe. It's easy with pride to slip into that. It's all about me. And our society teaches that. They don't teach you that good things come to those who wait. They teach you good things come to those who step on people, who jump ahead, who work a little bit harder, or who, you know, slide under ethically a little bit. That's not what God's Word teaches. I am not the starring role in the universe. God is. And I need to let Him put me through some things and to stay quietly waiting until He's finished. Let's close with prayer.